is MSONewsSports.com, and this is Connections, a chance to meet your North Shore neighbors. News, politics, left, center, right, newsmakers, people, issues, features. Connections on MSO News Sports.
Yes, indeed. Hello there. I'm Rick Moore, along with our producer and engineer, Bill Profasi, of course, the voice of the North Shore, Bill Newell. And this is Connections, a little program that we run on Thursdays from 11 to noon, try to get different people to talk with in and around the North Shore and elsewhere as well. And today, we don't have a ton of guests, but we have two very interesting guests that are going to tell some great stories, and I hope that you will listen in to part of it. We'll also, or all of it, we'll also be checking out North Shore, our North Shore Today newscast with Bill and me. We'll have that as well. We're going to be talking a little bit about nature. Mass Audubon sent a release recently about the Mass Audubon's Ipswich River Wildlife Sanctuary, which is offering environmental landscaping and gardening course, a course that is being offered by Catherine Carney Feldman, accredited organic land care professional, master gardener, and owner of Shamrock Acres Landscape Design in Ipswich. But there's a lot more to tell, and we'll go over this about with Catherine about all the things that she's associated with and some fascinating stuff. What is it that Trump says? Believe me. There you go. And also, of course, we'll be checking in with Heather Atwood, and Heather always has some terrific stories. She is back from, where'd she go this last week? She went to West Virginia. So she's going to recap some of the stuff that she saw out there with respect to politics and culture and food. And we'll chat with Heather coming up. And we may have another guest or two as the morning rolls by. We'll see. So it's a program, Connections, that we have every Thursday from 11 to noon on MSO Web Radio or MSO New Sports Radio. Lapse into the old stuff. At least I don't say WESX anymore. Finally got out of that. So we have this on from 11 to noon, and if you have suggestions or people that you think we ought to talk to, or people who have stories to tell, let us know at msonewsports@gmail.com, msonewsports@gmail.com. And I'm also going to take a look at Twitter, because they do this everywhere. People do the Twitter thing. They read off Twitter. And this one is from Kate Fox tweets. Kate is the executive director of Destination Salem, and of course everything in Salem gearing up for haunted happenings. But she has on here 3! Which in mathematics is 6. It's 3 × 2 × 1. It's 3 factorial. So it's actually 6 when she says 3 factorial. But she says 3! 3 is the number today! 3 stairwells open in Museum Place Garage. Okay. So that's the tweet. I don't know what it means, but that's it. 3 stairwells are open in Museum Place Garage. And Kate also writes that they look and smell great. Mm-hmm. Okay. And we'll take a look at some of these as we go along. And there's another tweet from Sports that says Brandon Cooks is disappointed in himself, but taking it one play at a time to getting better. And there's some tweets out here in Sports that we'll be putting up later on. Just to see, I'm trying to figure this out, to tell you the truth. You know, Bill is good at it. Bill's got the whole thing squared away, but I don't. So, and there is a score here. I love this. I just updated my Twitter account on our Twitter account. Just hit the update button, and it comes across 15 hours. Wakefield Athletics. Wakefield 91, Stoneham 79 in athletics. Okay, in swimming, I should say. St. Mary's girls soccer. St. Mary's 2, Austin Prep 2. Wakefield girls soccer. Wakefield 1, Wilmington 2. From 16 hours ago. So I'm just telling you, this is what happens when I hit update on my Twitter account. So I obviously don't know how to I don't know how to use it, is what I should say. Okay, so let's see here now. We will take a break. When we come back, we'll check in with North Shore Today, and then we'll be talking with Catherine Carney Feldman about her exciting new course, Mass Audubon promoting it, and so are we. So we'll be back here on Connections. And again, if you have some suggestions for Connections, let us know at msonewsports@gmail.com. We'll be back.
Score early and often this fall with a low-rate residential loan from the Institution for Savings. The Institution for Savings has fantastic rates, low or no fees, great service, and prompt turnaround. Plus, we service our mortgages in-house, so help is always a local phone call away. For more information or to apply online 24/7, visit institutionforsavingsloans.com or call us at 978-462-2344. Institution for Savings, member FDIC and DIF, equal housing lender.
Hi, folks. This is Gerard Moynihan of Moynihan Lumber. If you're thinking of replacing the windows in your home, you should look at the Anderson Woodwright Double Hung Insert Window, which comes with rich wood interiors in oak, pine, or maple. Quite simply, Anderson is the most trusted window in America. That's why we've been selling them for 57 years. Please see the Anderson Woodwright windows on display at any of our three locations in North Reading, Beverly, and Plaistow, New Hampshire, or at MoynihanLumber.com.
Moynihan Lumber, we measure up.
This is Connections on MSONewsSports.com. MSONewsSports.com is known for connecting North Shore sports fans with local sports newsmakers, features on teams and players, exclusive video interviews following the big games, live event coverage such as high school football, basketball, hockey, and baseball, live video coverage of the Gloucester Fiesta. MSO also connects you to the area news leaders, mayors, state representatives, state senators, town administrators, city and town elected officials, business leaders, and more. Entertainment features. Follow us on Twitter or Facebook at MSO News Sports. Email us at msonewsports@gmail.com. Leave a voice message anytime, 978-325-3638. Stay connected to your North Shore neighbors by simply clicking on msonewsports.com.
We're back on Connections, and a little problem with the phone because I dialed the wrong number, which is always fun. But on the line right now is Catherine Carney Feldman, who is involved with so many things with respect to nature. She's an accredited organic land care professional, master gardener, owner of Shamrock Acres Landscape Design in Ipswich, and she has a course coming up that's available to all. Good morning, Catherine.
Good morning, Rick. Nice to be on your program.
Well,
thank you for inviting me.
Thank you very much. I hope you're enjoying the day, and thank goodness we didn't get the storm. You know, a little windy out there, but we can take it.
Well, I've already been out into two clients' gardens, one helping them decide what they want to put in for new native plants to help birds. One person really wants to get into doing some extra bird support. And another person that was interested in getting a butterfly garden set up for next year.
Oh, my goodness. All right. Well, so much to talk about. Let's get started first with a little bit of background. Tell us about your background, maybe a little bit about your education and your professional life, how you got to where you are.
Oh, that's truly a long story. So I'll do the ones related to what I'm doing, which is environmental landscaping, gardening, and so on. I lucked out. I grew up in Lynn. And some people might say, well, all right. But I grew up next to Lynn Woods, and I come from a large family. My father's background is Irish. My mother's Polish, and she was one of 11 children.
Mm.
And my Polish grandparents grew all their own food for their children. I mean, all of it. And then they put it up in the fall, and they lived down the street from me, as did about 8 or 9 of my aunts and uncles. I could just walk anywhere. And they all were just phenomenal gardeners. But not only that, we would go for big Polish picnics up at the Linwood. So my grandparents taught me not only about blueberries, but what type of soil they need, what places you would find them, so that when you went looking for blueberries, you knew exactly where, what areas you would look for in Linwoods. They also taught me how to collect mushrooms, which ones to eat and not. And again, why you would find them only in the woods. So as a child, without knowing it, I absorbed all this information. I learned to read signs from the environment. about what the weather was going to be like. I would look at, you'd see seagulls coming in and Lynn, and you knew you had a storm coming before, you know, it would be predicted on the TV or radio,
mm-hmm.
and so on. And also all my relatives lived with animals, and the animals also taught you, you know, the signs, what was happening, something was about to change, and so on. So I got an education. It was as if I was learning a new language or a different language. And it's something that I never thought about, but it was always there, and it's something that my whole life has been built upon, that foundation. When I went to Ireland to visit my father's family, they live on a big dairy farm. Again, they grew not only all their own food, but their own wheat. And my aunts made bread daily, Irish soda bread. And I can remember, this is a great story, but I had never had bread like that. I was brought up in the time when Wonder Bread was considered really, that was it, top of the line. So my aunt would make this bread, and I literally would eat like a loaf per meal, having ever had bread like this. Without my knowing it, my aunt called my parents and said, when your daughter gets home, we think she has a tapeworm. You need to bring her to a doctor.
Oh, my goodness.
Sure enough, when I got home, my parents said, well, for some reason, your aunt thinks you have a tapeworm. I'm going to bring you to the doctor. And I said, what? And then I told them the rest of the story. And I said, no, anybody that would have bread like that, and so on. So I had this remarkable education. And when you have a basis, the rest of your life, if you're lucky, you just keep adding to that.
Mm-hmm.
And being into the environmental landscape and gardening business, for me, it is a constant necessity to keep reading to see what the latest information out there is. And because I'm an educator and a consultant besides a designer, and I do lectures for garden clubs, and I do free lectures for like the Lions clubs, libraries, and many other places, because I want this information out there, it's necessary to keep reading, it's taking courses, and then it also helps with all the courses that I teach. One of the main places that I teach a course or courses is at the Ipswich River Wildlife Sanctuary, and I think that's why we're talking today, because there's a really great opportunity for people to take this 5-week long environmental landscaping and gardening course. It's going to start, it's in the evening on Thursdays from 7 to 9. And it starts September 28th and goes through October 26th.
Mm-hmm.
So you get 5 different lectures every Thursday, 5 Thursdays in a row from 7 to 9. And it will give you a holistic look at how things in this world work as far as growing, how everything's interconnected. I know that they're charging, if you're a member, it's $145 for members, and for non-members, it's $174. And I believe that you can sign up for the course by either going to Ipswich River at massaudubon.org, or you can call the office directly at 978-887-9264.
All right, well, so what, excuse me, what is, organic land care professional, what does that mean?
Okay, so you're basically looking at doing all the gardening, all the landscaping from a perspective of using no chemical fertilizers or anything else. This is actually gardening at the level that Mother Nature would do it. And the course itself is based on these principles. It explains, it starts with soil science. All of the different microorganisms that are in the soil. I mean, people don't think about the soil because most of the organisms in it, they're so small, they're microscopic. You don't see them, so you're not going to think about them. But they're probably one of the most important things that we've got on this planet, and because of them, everything else grows. Everything else is interdependent on each other. So it's the basis. I'll be doing a lot of explanation, mm-hmm. a lot of detail on what the microorganisms are, what the achieved purpose on this planet is, and one of which is actually the decaying of all living things. you have to think about that. That's really important. And by all living things, I mean anything from a tree to a human to a bird, anything that's alive, eventually gets decomposed. It's these microorganisms that mm-hmm. do the job. And in the process of decomposition, they hold all the vital nutrients that were in the bodies of these now dead species in their own bodies so that they don't leach out through the soil and get lost. And what they do with them is very interesting. One, they need them for their own feeding, their own life. But very important, they need them because they trade off at the roots of all growing living things that are green. They trade these nutrients for sugar that's made by all green growing things, because green trees, bushes, flowers, and so on, they have chlorophyll. They're the only species in the world that does. And because of that, they can sit where they are in one space and through photosynthesis make their own food. What they don't have is the nutrients that all these microorganisms have. So at the root level, a tree, a bush, some corn, lettuce, whatever, will say, okay, I'm going to give you some of my sugar, but you give me some of your nutrients. And this is where it all starts mm-hmm. at that level.
Well, you know, it sounds to me like it's more than biology 101, but also I would guess that when you present these courses and when you, you do these talks, you give an idea. Obviously, you talk to the professionals on one level, but to the non-professionals, the people who are just very interested in landscaping their own grounds or gardening in their own area, you give them an idea on what maybe fits into where these people are. In other words, if you're you know, up against the shoreline, if you're in the woods, wherever your house or home may be, there are certain guidelines, I suppose, as to what you should be planting.
Yeah, and you're actually talking what's called specific environments or ecosystems. You've probably heard about ecosystems. Ecosystems, you know them like a desert is an ecosystem, a temperate forest is an ecosystem. Believe it or not, the currents in the oceans are ecosystems. Your coral reefs are ecosystems, cloud forests. I mean, there's so many in the world. And the main point of any ecosystem is that within it, the ecosystem is responsible for all living organisms to be able to thrive and produce the next generation. And that includes what's in the soil, and that includes all green life, and that includes all of the insects that interconnect with all the green plants, and that includes the birds that connect with the insects, and on and on. So now we're talking about the full spectrum of the tree of life, the food chain, sometimes it's called, and or the pyramid of life. And this is what I actually teach. I'm teaching the entire spectrum.
Mm-hmm.
And then as you get to understand the whole food chain or the pyramid of life, then you can see that every ecosystem, including the ones that are in your backyard, they have specific soil that supports specific microorganisms that specifically support certain type of trees and bushes and so on. And all of that has co-evolved with the temperature, with the amount of rain, with the type of soil, because the type of soil, you know the difference is sweet soil and there's more acidic soil. We live in New England.
Mm-hmm.
We have an awful lot of pine trees and so on, and that adds to the acidity of soil. So we have some things that grow much better here than other things. But it's all connected. And so my whole point by looking at the whole picture is that I start with looking at the whole picture, the pyramid of life, and then little by little I explain how that makes a difference with what choices you make in your garden.
Mm-hmm.
So I'll give you an example. Many people think, because this whole course is also based also on native plants, because native plants, or plants native to whatever area that you're living in, they have co-evolved with those microorganisms. They've co-evolved with the type of insects that are in that environment, the type of birds, and so on. It's very, very important to use whatever native plants are in your ecosystem. and so on. What happens nowadays is people go to any type of garden center and they get hooked in buying all these beautiful specimens of plants and trees and so on. And a lot of people don't know what a native plant is and what a non-native plant is. Good example. Most people think that lilacs are natives because everybody's had them and they've been here since the time of the pilgrims. But they're not native. How do we know? Because lilacs, to do well, you need to add lime to the soil. They're actually originated in Europe. In particular, they were brought over by the early settlers from England who loved them in England. And so people think, because you've always seen them here, they're native, but they're not. Native plants are plants that came before the time of the Europeans coming to the States.
Mm-hmm.
The nice thing about native plants is because they have evolved here with everything in the environment, everything in their ecosystem. They don't need as much care as other plants will.
Mm-hmm. We're talking with Catherine Carney Feldman, who is an accredited organic land care professional, master gardener, and owner of Shamrock Acres Landscape Design in Ipswich. She's going to be presenting a course at Mass Audubon. The course is appropriate for landscape professionals, home gardeners, students of environmental studies, and landscape design, municipal employees, and anyone else interested. And I'll post this up on the website as to how to get registered and the cost and the fees and phone numbers and all of that stuff. I will do that. Christine, Catherine, when we were talking, when I first met you by phone, you had some other fascinating interests as well. And plus, you forced me to go to, see if I can pronounce this correctly, the Białowieża Forest. I can't pronounce it.
Oh, Białowieża Forest.
Białowieża Forest. There we go. And also, I noticed you have a fascinating article online on monarch butterflies. So your interests are not just local here in Ipswich or on the North Shore.
No, not at all. Actually, I've written quite a few articles for newspapers, everything from animal issues as well as environmental issues. But you're right. Let's get back to the Białowieża Forest. This is really quite fascinating. It's would be great to be on your bucket list. I went there. It's in Poland. In fact, I just got back this Monday night, so I still have a little jet lag here, to say the least. But Białowieża Forest is the last primal forest in Europe. Now, people might say, what the heck is a primal forest? A primal forest is a forest that has never been managed by humans. It's original to itself.
Mm-hmm.
In this case, it has survived because it was the exclusive hunting forest of the Tsars, Russia.
Oh my, okay.
And of the kings of Europe. In fact, half of it is in Poland, up in the northeast area, and the other half is in Belarus. You can only get in with a licensed guide. I was fortunate the guide I had spoke five languages and had been doing this for 29 years. To be a licensed guide, you have to go through an extreme education series, and every time you bring someone in, you need to fill out forms. So they know who's in there, they know how long they're going to be in, and actually the only other people I saw the entire time I was in there with my guide, my husband was with me and my daughter, who came out from Portland, Oregon. The only other people we saw, twice we saw rangers, forest rangers on bikes coming by. And every time they see people, their job is to stop, look at the papers that you are carrying to make sure that you're there legally. The people of Poland and Belarus love this
mm-hmm.
incredible protected area. Primal in the sense that they leave it completely alone. If there's a forest fire, fine. They've got wolves there. The wolves keep actually the deer population intact, or they keep them at a certain level. There's checks and balances in this primal area, but it's completely done from an eco point of view. It's not humanly interfered with. There's no logging. When trees get old enough, they fall down, they, you know, decay, and all those microorganisms I was talking about do their job. And here you're going to find trees like oaks that are 5 to 1,000 years old.
Whoa.
Ash trees that were 600 years old. You don't see something like this in our country because pretty much all of our wooded areas are managed one way or the other. Even our national parks are managed so that you can have a huge amount of people coming in, and the roads are there for them and the infrastructures. It's very different going through the primal forest. And as I said, you really have to have a trained guide to bring you in. At the same time, people from all over the world, scientists, come to the little town of Białowieża, and they have institutes there because they're forever studying the what happens when you have an ecosystem that is allowed to completely be on its own. And what you discover is that the amount of variety of insects, mushrooms, birds, trees, bushes is phenomenal. The greenness in this area of the woods, I live in Ipswich, and I spend a lot of time in the woods. We have so many deer here, we end up having nothing green on the ground. The deer eat a lot. So it was really quite remarkable to be in such a lush green environment with such magnificently large, beautiful trees.
Yeah. They even, I'm looking online, and they even have some of these trees have names. And I'm looking at one of them that is estimated to be 550 years old, and it's over 100 feet tall. So,
are you looking at one of the oaks?
Yes.
A lot of the oaks have names.
Yeah, this one's called a patriarch oak, but there are many of them online. Again, I'll link to that. That's amazing. And I'm glad you put me onto that. And what about your connection to the monarch butterfly? Because I just happen to see this from the Ipswich Garden Club. You have an article there.
Well, I teach everything. I teach probably about 27 different courses. This five-week course is kind of a synopsis. It brings a lot of the courses together. For years, I had been looking for a course for myself that pulled it all together from A to Z, because if you only know A and you know Z and you know P and Q, you don't have the whole picture, and you keep making decisions based on lack of information. So it finally hit me. I was teaching so many different courses on so many different elements that I could actually pull a 5-week course together, or in this I could actually do a 10-week course that would have all the elements. So people, when they make decisions about their own property, that they actually make it based on information, as opposed to making it on ignorance, which most people have, and so on. But getting back to what you're saying, I teach so many different things. And a lot of my clients that call and say, gee, I'd like to do something with my property to make it sustainable for wildlife. I want to do something. One of the easiest things to do is to do a butterfly garden. Another easy thing to do is put a berry-bearing hedge in, different type of berry-bearing bushes. It's just fun to say that, actually.
Yes, it is.
And these are all things people can do. You have to look at the fact that in the United States, we have over 82 million households, people that have some property with their home. Can you imagine if everybody only planted one tree or one native plant? That's 82 million people getting involved.
Mm-hmm.
What a difference would make. And I say that because, and the whole reason why I'm doing what I'm doing is we're losing our native species of birds, insects. People don't even know it, a lot of people, because they live in cities, or they live disconnected from nature. But every single one of us can make a difference by planting one native plant. Now, if you want to do a butterfly garden, then you're probably going to plant either a host plant, which is the plant that a butterfly would lay its eggs on, or you're going to do a nectar plant, which is the type of plant that they need for the fuel. They collect nectar. It's like our gasoline for our cars. It makes them go.
Mm.
What people, a lot of people don't know, is that butterflies, every species, let's talk about the monarch, have co-evolved to be able to eat only one plant. By that I mean they can only lay their eggs on a certain plant. So in the case of the monarch, the monarch can only lay its egg on the milkweed plant. Why? Because that egg becomes a caterpillar. A caterpillar is an eating machine. That's all it does. That's all it's supposed to do. And it actually goes through five stages. And every time it goes through another stage, it gets too big for the skin that it's in. It actually puffs itself up by using air, splits its skin, and it comes out larger than what it just was. And monarch will go through this about five times. Mm. They're called end stars or stages. And the interesting thing in nature, nothing is wasted. So the caterpillar will even eat its own skin that it just shed because it's full of protein.
Mm-hmm.
So by the time it goes through its fifth stage, in nature, all of us are controlled by hormones, whether we're a butterfly or a tree or a human. The hormones will dictate, okay, this is your time to go find a covered leaf or something and to go into a chrysalis. So the caterpillar, actually using its last skin, makes a chrysalis. And what's really phenomenal, it completely dissolves into liquid DNA. And when it reconstitutes, is a flying insect. Now, this will give you an idea why the Greeks and even the Aztecs were absolutely captivated by this. They had never seen another being that starts as a lowly, crawling insect,
mm-hmm.
and then comes out as a magnificent flying butterfly.
I think there's a lesson there for us. I like that. I didn't realize that it turned into DNA like that, and I know that...
liquid DNA.
Yeah.
Then reconstitute.
It's one of the most amazing biological phenomena, I think, that there is. Catherine, I have to go, but I do want to... I will post this on our website, your upcoming course, and what I'd like to do is stay in touch and get you on again in the future.
I would love that. We could talk about so many different subjects.
And we will.
Thank you so much.
All right, Catherine. Thank you. Have a great day.
You too.
Thank you very much. That is Catherine Carney Feldman, and she is an accredited organic land care professional, a master gardener, and she is the owner of Shamrock Acres Landscape Design in Ipswich. Now, she is presenting a course for landscape professionals, home gardeners, students of environmental studies, landscape design, anyone interested in learning how to apply an environmental perspective to landscape work. Class is limited to 12 participants, and this will be taking place at the Mass Audubon's Ipswich River Wildlife Sanctuary in Topsfield. Class will meet on five Thursday evenings from September 28 to October 26 from 7 to 9 p.m. at the sanctuary. And again, the cost for members is $145, and the fee for non-members is $174. And you can call 978-887-9264 for more information, or take a look at massaudubon.org/Ipswich River and get more information on that. Absolutely fascinating. So she is also, among all the other things, most definitely a biologist and an ecologist. Good heavens, that was totally informing. Okay, we need to take a break. When we come back here, we'll check in with Heather Atwood for yet more stories and catch up on what the two moms have been doing across the country. And, you know, in this election season coming up, I think you'll be kind of entertained by what she has to say. So we'll be right back.
Get the skills you need to be a leader in sports and recreation. A master's in athletic administration from Endicott's Van Loan School prepares students for careers in schools, government agencies, nonprofit organizations, sports governing bodies, private sports clubs, and more. Van Loan's athletic administration master's program is 100% online with affordable tuition. Try a class before fully enrolling. Visit vanloan.endicott.edu/athleticadmin today.
Harrington's Trophy and Awards has been rewarding the North Shore for over 25 years. Hi, I'm Kevin Harrington.
And I am Marty Harrington, and we are known for our local family business, providing custom trophies, plaques, screen printing, embroidery, and much more. We offer a variety of services such as engraving wedding gifts, medals for charity walks, youth sports trophies and uniforms. From the newest style performance wear to your everyday work shirts, we are your one-stop shop. Whether it's a fantasy football, warm-up suits for your team, end-of-the-year banquet gifts, or recognizing excellence, we pride our business on our exceptional customer service and quality products. Located in Lynn, or visit our website at harringtontrophy.com.
This is Connections on MSONewsSports.com.
All right, we're back on Connections now with Heather Atwood of Food for Thought, and also, more importantly, the midterm podcast, a.k.a. the Mid-Pod, coming soon to your local neighborhoods. Heather, how you doing?
I'm well. How are you?
Very, very well. And you are a world traveler, well, at least a traveler all over the country now. And let's start with your most recent episode. You and Nisi Panetta have been traveling primarily the Eastern Seaboard last month or so, talking with candidates in hotly contested congressional districts. Is that right?
That's right.
All right. And so give us an update on your most recent travels.
Well, we just returned from West Virginia's 2nd Congressional District. And for those of you who don't know, it is the longest district in the country. It extends from the west of the state, Charleston, West Virginia, all the way to the east of the state to Harper's Ferry, which mm-hmm. is, you know, famous for a certain person's hanging and a few other things. So, and that's the very last town in West Virginia, Harper's Ferry. So it takes about 5 hours to drive across the district. And I will tell you, it is one of the most beautiful drives I have ever had.
Mm-hmm.
It is just magical. And I'll tell you another little fun story, nothing political, but as we were driving across this district, you know, it's just these beautiful rolling mountains, and we stopped in a place called Seneca Rock, which I think I talked about last week, and we had lunch on the porch of this old country store. And we had spent the full day before in Charleston, the capital, and we were really just falling in love with this place. It has so many problems, but we were just saying, gosh, this state is just magical. They need to build their tourism or something because we've never been to any place like it, right? So I go onto Twitter, and I happen to follow Anthony Bourdain on Twitter.
Yep.
And I look at my Twitter feed, and he is saying, oh, my God, the state of West Virginia. I had no idea. I love this place. I don't even know why I love it, but I love it.
Wow.
He's tweeting all the exact same things that we are thinking.
Mm-hmm.
So, in fact, Anthony Bourdain was in West Virginia almost on our trail at the same time we were there, and it was just really, really exciting to have him validating our experience. And, you know, he was saying just what we felt like. This is such a complicated place. These people don't vote like we do or like I do, in the case of Anthony Bourdain, but I love them. And that's just the feeling we had. We love those people. So this is another funny tale. I was sort of doing my food job, and I was on the trail of authentic West Virginia foods. Well, guess who else was doing that? Anthony Bourdain.
There you go, yep.
So I had discovered pepperoni rolls. Who knew that the pepperoni roll is kind of the quintessential coal miner food?
Wow, okay.
It arrived in West Virginia when there were Italians actually weren't working in the mines, as you can imagine.
Mm-hmm.
And it was a sandwich wrapped in, a bread dough wrapped around pepperoni and cheese, and they would take it down to the mines and have it for their lunch. So, of course, there's Anthony Bourdain on Twitter talking about eating his pepperoni roll in a coal mine.
Oh, wow.
So he beat me to that one. But there was another really interesting story about a kind of bread that is really very specific to Appalachia. It's called salt rising bread. I have a starter on my kitchen counter right now. I'm trying to make it. And I'll leave you with that. It's okay. A really very specific West Virginia bread, and I'm going to learn how to make it.
All right. Are you going to put this on Food for Thought?
Yes, I will.
Excellent.
That'll be up there. It'll take a little bit of time, but like maybe by next week, but I will get it up there.
Okay. Well, now what sets you apart from Anthony Bourdain is you talk with people in the districts about politics, and you talk to the candidates. And I'm curious, Heather, because so far you two moms haven't gotten much from Republicans, the Democrats, and so far you've had all Republican incumbents. So how did you make out this time?
Well, about the same as we've made out all along. Absolutely nothing from Alex Mooney, who is the Republican congressman and the incumbent. In fact, while we were there, there was a protest going on outside his offices because Congress was about to cut the SNAP funding. They were going to reduce SNAP funding, which is used to be called food stamps, down to something like $1.83 a meal per person.
Mm-hmm.
And Alex Mooney, who is their congressman, was voting for these SNAP cuts. And West Virginia is one of the poorest states in the country, and there are a lot of people in that state who are dependent upon SNAP benefits.
Mm-hmm.
So he was really just taking a knife to his constituents.
Have you been able to talk with representatives in the Republican Party? I mean, he must have some kind of an agent or a secretary or something. Maybe a local chairperson of the Republican committee, anything like that?
Yeah, we've had no luck. We went into Alex Mooney's office. We actually, when we were in Michigan, we called David Trott's office. By the way, update. We were in Michigan's 11th congressional district, right?
Right.
And the incumbent is Republican David Trott. He has two really strong Democrats running up against him, and he has dropped out of the race.
Wow.
Since we've been there.
Wow, that's interesting.
Yeah, isn't that interesting?
Yeah, so there will be a Republican candidate then.
A new one. And I know someone has already announced that they're running, a young woman.
Wow.
I don't know that much about her, but she I don't think she's that strong a candidate because she doesn't have a lot of experience.
Well, let's see if that's coincidence or if it's the two moms effect.
There you go, one by one.
Yeah, that's right. Well, Heather, go back to the premise. I mean, I think that's important that people understand what you two are trying to do.
Yes, we are trying to tell the stories of these districts. We are going to swing districts. So these races have been declared by certain authorities, mostly Cook's Political Report. That's kind of what we're going by, that these races are up in the air. They're either toss-ups or they lean Republican, but only by a little bit. So we are interested in talking to the people on the ground, the citizens, and saying, what are you worried about in this district? What do you want from your congressman? What are you asking from him when you send him to Washington or her? So we're trying to tell the story of the districts. And we want the rest of the country to know what is going on in these communities. What are their issues? Because the people they send to Washington, they're voting for the whole nation. They're representing all of us, ultimately.
Mm-hmm.
And we should know who these people are sending to Washington.
Okay. So, and this will, and again, you're going to be converting this into podcasts. And how did your potluck go this time?
We had sort of a smaller potluck. This is kind of a fun coincidence. We were in Martinsburg, West Virginia, and we stayed in an Airbnb. And our Airbnb hosts ended up being, they are members of the Indivisible Group, and they basically let us hold the potluck ourselves in the Airbnb. They were as guests, and then we had a couple of other people from Indivisible West Virginia with us. Mm-hmm. And so it was smaller than the other ones, but it was fun. It was
okay.
Good.
Well, I can't wait to hear about it once again. And I keep asking you, these podcasts are, have you started production yet?
We start production actually this afternoon.
Wonderful.
Yes.
Okay, excellent. All right, I can't wait. So this will be up soon, and I'm hoping I can also. We'll link to that at the least. We'll link to those podcasts. Now that brings us to food, and we. It's been fun. We've been counting down the top 50 dishes for the last couple of months, as accumulated by various media, and we're inside the top 10 now.
We are, and I keep saying drum roll. I think I said drum roll at 20. I said drum roll. I don't know. I've said it a few times. Anyway, we are really in the drum roll phase of things. We are at number 9 and number 8.
Mm-hmm.
So number 9 is pretty straightforward: ice cream.
Well, who could argue with that?
Right?
Hello.
I don't know. I guess if you're lactose intolerant, you could argue with it. But I don't think so. I think, you know, ice cream is ice cream. It is always good, right?
Even if you take, even if you are lactose intolerant, you take a pill and you got
exactly,
it. Oh, yeah. Absolutely.
Exactly. No, there is nothing better than ice cream. That's for sure. So shall I move on to number 8? Because, you know, we could talk about our favorite flavors. I bet yours is chocolate.
Oh, come on. Take another guess.
Okay, I'm thinking really radical, vanilla.
Well, how did you know? See, this is it.
Right? I know.
It's always a mystery when you talk to someone who has, you know, a sophisticated palate like mine, you know.
Right. Well, vanilla is pretty sophisticated. I'm actually a great fan of vanilla.
Okay.
All right, so what is your favorite flavor?
No, it is vanilla, actually.
It is vanilla?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. And second, my second favorite is coffee.
Oh, I love coffee mm-hmm. ice cream.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and
we finally agree on something.
How about that?
That's
and
great.
You know what? And I don't like the syrup solid. I don't like it I like just a plain ice cream. That's what I want.
Of course you do.
Absolutely.
Of course
yeah.
you do. But you know what? I'm the same way. And vanilla and coffee, in fact, the two of them together, that's a pretty delicious combination.
Oh, okay. I used to make those in Fraps when I was a soda jerk.
Oh, there you go.
Okay.
We haven't even covered you as a soda jerk.
Oh, no, we'll get to that at some point.
Okay, good. All right, so number 8, we're going to be right back there in the realm of the exotic. Tom Yum.
Okay, well, obviously that sounds Asian.
Yes, it's Thai. It is a delicious soup. I think probably a lot of people are familiar with it. If you, you know, are dining in any sort of Asian restaurant, they often have Tom Yum on the menu. It is... traditionally, it's a shrimp-based soup with lots of aromatic things in it, like kefir lime and lemongrass and something called galangal, which I won't even go on and explain to you. But it's a wonderful, warm, spicy Thai soup.
Hmm.
People around the world love it, including moi. So you would like it, Rick. Shrimp?
Oh, yeah, of course I like shrimp. Yeah.
Yeah, this is so just homey and delicious.
Mm-hmm.
I think you would like it. And it's not really strong flavored. You know, it's kind of subtle, even though it has spice to it.
Well,
put yourself down there to Thai Choice and have some Tom Yum.
I tell you what, I'll tell it to my wife and I'll sample hers. How's that?
Okay, that's a great
All
idea.
Right, we'll do that. Okay. All right, well, this is fun. We're inside the top 10. This is amazing. And I can't stress enough how excited I am about your MidPod website and your midterm podcast. Those are going to be fantastic. I'm really curious as to how we can continue to cover this, because the fascinating story of the Republican incumbent dropping out in Michigan after your visit.
Isn't that interesting?
Is very curious. And
Great.
And the fact that so far you're 0-for-3 in talking with Republicans is curious. And I having talked with you, I think I know your political bent, but you've never declared it, nor have I. And I am usually apolitical myself. I'm neither Republican nor Democrat. I think the fact that, you know, that the Republicans are not communicating with you guys is troublesome to me. And so we'll see if you. So what's next? Do you guys have your next trip lined up?
Well, you know, before I go there, I do want to tell you one story from West Virginia. We did have a conversation with a Republican, and he's not a candidate, he's a citizen, but he was really pretty special. We were walking up and down the streets of Martinsburg with our microphone, trying to find people to talk to, and we went into a barbershop. And the barbershop was this fabulous place. It's called Uncle Joe's Barbershop.
Mm-hmm.
It has its own Facebook page. Everyone should go there and like it. It's filled with antique barber stuff.
Wow.
Antique chairs, antique poles, antique, you know, all the tools. And we were interviewing the barber, who is a really colorful guy himself. And in walks this gentleman. He's about 6'3". I won't speculate to his weight, but he was a grand man.
Mm-hmm.
He was a very large man. He had on the khaki suit and the bow tie, and his blondish hair was a little bit, like, too long. He needed a cut, but, like, hanging over his forehead. And he was the Southern lawyer. He whips off his bow tie, throws it down, sits in the chair. The barber throws the cape across his front, starts snipping with the scissors, and he starts talking to us. And he said, I am a friend of the coal miners. I'm a friend of coal,
mm-hmm.
because we're in West Virginia, right? And
mm-hmm.
he sort of basically announces his politics when he says that.
Mm-hmm.
And we said, so how do you feel about your congressman, Alex Mooney? And he said, I can't stand him.
Oh, jeez. Oh, my goodness.
And he said, you know what? I want my congressman to be walking up and down this street talking to the people.
Mm-hmm.
That person should be asking you know, the people
right.
what they care about.
Mm-hmm.
We've never seen him. He said, that's not representation to me.
Well, I think we can all agree on that, Republican and Democrat. That's what we want. And I know that when I was teaching, one of the things that used to drive me crazy was when something would be installed, a program, new software, whatever it might be from the administration, without surveying, you know, the people who use it. There were no need survey, you know, user needs.
Right.
And on a political scale, you know, on a service scale, I agree with that gentleman from West Virginia, that Lincoln lawyer. I totally agree with him.
Right, right.
Yep.
No, they have long forgotten that they're working for the people.
Yep.
You know, so that's the message that needs to get back out there. My colleague, Nisi Panetta, says that at some point she's going to put out a job description, you know, saying, you know, these are the requirements and do you fill them,
mm-hmm.
you know?
Okay. So, well, I'll tell you what, and just to offset that, I actually saw Senator Markey, is that his name, from Massachusetts?
Yes.
I actually saw him on television a couple of weeks ago, and I said, oh, my, that's what he looks like. So he's another one that I have some disdain for as not being representative, and he's right here in Massachusetts.
I agree. I don't think I really know what he looks like,
yeah.
to tell you the truth. I am with you there.
Kind of interesting. All right, Heather, enough with the politics stuff, but most enjoyable. And so where are you headed next?
So we are headed to a women's podcasting conference in Los Angeles.
Wow. That's
where we go next.
Okay.
But after that, we are leaving Los Angeles, and we are flying to Austin, Texas.
Right.
We are going to Texas Congressional District 21, and there is a really interesting fight going on there because that is Lamar Smith's district.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know if you probably do know this, that Lamar Smith is the anti-science congressperman.
Well, he's one of many.
Yeah, right, exactly. But he is an outspoken climate change denier.
Mm-hmm.
And he is also head of, you know, one of those committees that is all science, like the science committee. You know, he's the head of it. And there is a really wonderful candidate going up against him. His name is Joe Kopser. And Joe Kopser wears the cowboy boots, has the accent, and he is Mr. Science and Technology.
Well, wearing cowboy boots in Texas is not very uncommon.
He's got the whole thing going on.
There you go.
Not only that, he says he is science and technology, and he's going up against Lamar Smith.
Wait till you see Main Street in Austin. It's one of the longest streets I've ever seen in my life. Straight from here to there. It's forever and ever. All right, that is Heather Edward with Food for Thought and also the Two Moms with the Mid-Pod. This is MSONewsSports.com.
Thanks, Rick.
Hi, folks. This is Gerard Moynihan of Moynihan Lumber. If you're replacing the windows in your home, please see the Anderson 400 Series windows on display at any of our three locations in North Reading, Beverly, or Plaistow, New Hampshire. The Anderson 400 is attractive, durable, energy efficient, and reasonably priced. Remember, Anderson is the most trusted name in windows. See the Anderson 400 at any of our three locations. That's North Reading, Beverly, or Plaistow, New Hampshire, or at MoynihanLumber.com.
Moynihan Lumber, we measure up.
Harrington's Trophy and Awards has been rewarding the North Shore for over 25 years. Hi, I'm Kevin Harrington.
And I am Marty Harrington, and we are known for our local family business, providing custom trophies, plaques, screen printing, embroidery, and much more. We offer a variety of services such as engraving wedding gifts, medals for charity walks, youth sports trophies and uniforms. From the newest style performance wear to your everyday work shirts, we are your one-stop shop. Whether it's a fantasy football, warm-up suits for your team, end-of-the-year banquet gifts, or recognizing excellence, we pride our business on our exceptional customer service and quality products. Located in Lynn, or visit our website at harringtontrophy.com.
People come in, take a seat. You're really in for a treat at Sylvan Street. A great place to eat and drink and meet with family and friends at Sylvan Street. We'll treat you right, day or night. Satisfy your appetite. Eat, drink, and chill. At the Sylvan Street Grill.
Catch a game with friends, meet for lunch, cocktails after work, or a romantic dinner for two. Whatever your plan, plan to do it at Sylvan Street Grill in Peabody and Salisbury. See you at Sylvan Street.
Eat, drink, and chill at the Sylvan Street Grill.
This is Connections on MSONewsSports.com.
Yes, it certainly is. I'm Rick Moore, along with our producer and engineer, Bill Proposky. Bill Newell, of course, the voice of the North Shore. You should be listening to North Shore Today. It's up on the website, our latest newscast. Not going to play it during this hour now, as we're running out of time. But I certainly do appreciate our guest this morning. Fascinating talk with Catherine Carney Feldman about all things ecological and sustainable and landscaping. And I have posted up on our website the course that she will be presenting at Mass Audubon at the Sanctuary in Ipswich. And you can gather the information as to how to get hold of Mass Audubon, how to get enrolled in this course, and so on, the cost and the phone numbers and all that. That's we have posted that on the site. Also, always fun to talk to Heather Atwood, and we'll have to get a hold of Denise Panetta as well, one of the two moms who go on this tour. I think it's just amazing what they're doing, and talking to candidates and people in contested districts, hot districts for the midterm elections that are coming up next year. And also rather curious about they've been to three districts so far. They've been to New Jersey, West Virginia, and Michigan. And in each of those three cases, the Republican incumbent or spokespeople won't talk to the two moms. So we'll see if that trend continues, or if they're actually able to talk to. And I'm not sure, of course, that that every district has a Republican incumbent. So we'll have to see if the Democrat incumbents talk with them or don't talk with them, too. Anyway, we do have sports coming up this weekend. Before I get to that, don't forget tomorrow, Josh Arnold's Trending Now returns at 10 a.m., so 10 o'clock live radio, and of course it will be posted immediately thereafter for on-demand listening at any time. Spread the word. Let people know about MSO News Sports, please. We try to do a lot of stuff. We do a lot of stuff. We try to get people in their own words so that we don't misquote anybody. And again, for connections, if there's someone you'd like to hear, you'd like for us to interview, or you have a suggestion, please let us know at msonewsports@gmail.com, msonewsports@gmail.com. Now, tomorrow, this weekend, we've got four football broadcasts, okay? On Friday night, we've got a doubleheader coming out of Lynn. It will be Revere at Lynn Classical. That's a 5 p.m. start with Bill Newell and Tim Kearns. And then North Reading at Lynn English. Marty Smith will join them. In fact, all three will be broadcasting both games. They're going to split up some of the duties. So at 7:30, Marty Smith will be on play-by-play. That'll be North Reading at Lynn English. I will be in Gloucester tomorrow. Somerville at Gloucester. Somerville is 1-1, Gloucester 2-0. That game will start at 7 p.m. Both of those are radio games. Live audio streaming. And then on Saturday at 1 p.m., MSO Radio will feature Malden at Beverly. That will be with Marty Smith and Tim Kearns. And then at 4 p.m., it'll be Everett at St. John's Prep. That will be our live streaming video game. So that's a 4 o'clock start. So once again, we've got four high school football games here on MSO this weekend. So we've already had, probably close to 15 or 20 games. We will have after this weekend. Again, email us at msonewsports@gmail.com. Follow us at msonewsports on Twitter and all that other stuff. I'll have to have Bill give me a readout on how to get a hold of us on Facebook, because I don't have any idea. Anyway, that'll do it. That's Connections for this Thursday. Thanks for being with us. Bye-bye.